Yes, it's a live episode. So let's get it started. What is going on? I am your girl, your host, the creator, the one doing this thing. My name is Jaleesa Dove, and you are now tuned into the Sparks and Pours podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been a very wild, very entertaining, adventurous season thus far. This is season 2 of the Sparks and Pours podcast. And it's like part one. I'm not sure if like that's a thing, like season 2 part 1, season 2 part 2, but I'm gonna make it a thing because that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do. So this is part 1 of season 2, and it has been an amazing ride. I've met so many great people, so many great guests have come through. And then we had Corona to hit. So that kind of threw a wrench in the Sparks and Pours podcast, and it threw a wrench in everyone's life. But thankfully, we were able to still push through with our live episodes. So I thank you for tuning in, and I thank you for, you know, continuing to support the Sparks and Pours podcast and myself during this time. So thank you so much. So we have another exciting episode. This is a live episode via IG. Shout out to IG Live, keeping us all connected during this corona pandemic. So on this episode, on the finale episode of part 1 of season 2 of the Sparks and Pours podcast, we have none other than the celebrity DJ himself, DJ Money. He is also a producer, and as well an artist himself. He does have a single out, and he is, he will be joining us. So waiting for him to come into the room, into the live so we can get started. But before then, I just want to say that if you are interested in being on the Sparks and Pours podcast, you can email at sparkspours@gmail.com. And you can also, you know, just slide in the DM, you know, I'll check the DM if it got something good in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but don't be trying to holler or anything like that. So we're getting him on. It looks like he's finishing up a session. Shout out to him still working, but hello, Sparks and Pours. We're getting started with that too. But while we're waiting for him to come into the room, just wanted to touch on some things. So I thought that this was very interesting. So speaking of Corona, DC has decided to open on Friday. Which is crazy. So there he is. So Money is here. So let's go ahead and get him in here so we can have a wonderful episode. And also get his opinion about, you know, what's going on right now. Hello.
What's up?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thank you for joining the Sparks and Pours podcast.
Where is Sparks and Pours at? Where is that? What's going on?
Well, see, the thing is, I definitely, I sparked before because I get nervous. I get nervous after all this time. Huh?
No, I'm just saying what's up. So,
yeah. Oh, yes, yes. You got the people in here. So thank you so much, DJ Money, for joining us. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, again.
All love.
Yes. So
I know you forever. I'm proud of you, you know what I'm saying, and all of that. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Well, let's, you know, not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and get started. So really quick, just a few sparks that I want to touch on before we go into the four, which is you. So DC is going to open on Friday, phase 1 of Corona.
So phase one
of the reopening of DC is going to consist of a few bars being open,
okay.
A few restaurants being open with outside seating, limited seating, and they also have, you know, essential retailers, whatever that means. They can do curbside service.
Essential retailers.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I guess, like, Walmart, Best Buy and stuff, Target.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure, but I'm not ready either. What do you think about all of this, about the reopening?
I'm going to wait a couple weeks.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to let the first wave kind of go out, lose their mind. I saw what happened in Houston. I saw what happened in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm gonna relax.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really don't trust it. It's just a little too shaky for me. Like, people were just out. Did those people get tested? Like, are they in the clear? Like, I don't know.
I feel like the numbers might spike a little bit, unfortunately, but I don't know, man. Like, we'll see what happens, man. Like, economy definitely is fucked up, so I know why they're trying to reopen.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. This weekend is about to be crazy. Speaking of, like, what did you do for Memorial Day? I mean, we were still self-distancing. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, I was just with the fam. Okay. I've been chilling, like, to be honest with you. I haven't been drinking. Like, I've been pivoting, panicking.
Yeah.
So I've been off the water. Been doing too much, so yeah, I just been chilling, man. I haven't done too much, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, be honest with you, I probably didn't eat as much. I didn't indulge like everyone else did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I kind of wish that, like, I did. I was watching, like, the ribs and the crabs and the chicken and that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's all good. I'm on a path right now, and I'm going to stick to it, so.
That's good. Well, shout out to the water. I can see the glow, you know.
Team water right now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Got to keep it together. I still need a haircut. I look kind of crazy, but it's all good. We all quarantining.
You're doing well. The ladies love it, I'm sure.
I appreciate it.
Come on. So one, to get a little serious real quick. So right now, another black man has lost his life due to, unfortunately, it's a fucking shame. It really is. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm tired of it. I'm exhausted. Like, it's...
Yeah, man. It's unfortunate, man.
Yeah. George Floyd of Minneapolis. And it's not enough that the cops were fired. Like, we need charges. And not only charges, but we need convictions. Like, I'm so annoyed. I'm so tired. Like, today, just, like, reading and thinking about everything, you know, my first knowing of police brutality and them getting off was the Rodney King situation. And I know that it's happened before then. But it's just, like, time and time again, like, it keeps happening. And it's so annoying. And I'm so tired. I'm so tired of it happening.
Unfortunately, as a black man, like, you have to live differently in the world, and, like, you know, even in my livelihood, I get that, you know what I'm saying, because I'm out at night, so I try to move smart, you know what I'm saying, but unfortunately, you really have to watch what's going on, because, you know, I know they're supposed to be forced, but they're not forced,
and at all.
Like, I tell folks, yes, all these posts and stuff is amazing, and we got to do it, but mobilization is what we need.
Yeah. Period.
So, like, we really need to, like, action, the real action, call them locals, make sure you vote, you know what I'm saying, like, those are the things that need to happen.
Definitely.
So I feel like, personally, just with this situation, unfortunately, it's another live loss that we have to add to the list, you know what I'm saying, add to the t-shirts, add to the songs, but, like, we have to come together, mobilize together, and really come up with a well-laid plan, you know what I'm saying, to get this movement. And it's funny because I always tell us, it's not funny, but I say that, like, Dave Chappelle was really onto something when he said, yo, change the gun laws, we should just all sign up and try to get a gun. I promise you, them gun laws will change of me. Dave Chappelle for that.
Yeah.
And he's right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, as long as the laws are in their favor, it's always going to happen. They think firing them is enough, and it's not. And we can't stand for it. charges need to be filed, and we need to make those phone calls to make sure that they know that.
Definitely. And while you're, you know, like talking about comedians, because they do touch on real life and politics and everything that goes on, but Chris Rock on his latest stand-up Tambourine, he was like, you know, they're not going to be satisfied until it's a white kid that gets shot. You know what I'm saying? And his mom is standing next to my fucking Joel Oz. What's the white preacher?
It don't even matter.
Yeah, but yeah.
What's his name? Oswald? Yeah.
Yeah, that dude. Kanye's homeboy. But yeah, so.
Unfortunately, yes, but you're right, though. And the funny thing is about that, when it happens, they're going to try to keep that off the news. I promise you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're going to keep it off the news, and then the officer who did it is going to go to jail. So, but,
yes.
But, you know, like you said, we need to mobilize. We need to come together. We need to figure out a way to just come together and end this, because it's crazy. It's crazy.
And not riot in our own backyards. Like we really need to go to the places they live,
right?
And show them what's going on. I'm not always for, you know what I'm saying, violence or nothing like that. But I definitely feel like at this point in time, we need to stop fighting in our own backyard. Let's go to where they live.
Right.
What's going on? Like,
right.
It's just. I mean, to be honest with you, like, we all tired of it. Like, it's another thing that we have to keep watching and seeing. And Will Smith said it right. Like, racism is worse, because it's not worse. It's just on camera now.
Yeah, exactly. We're about millions are viewing it. It's crazy. But prayers to his family. I definitely hope that something good comes from this terrible situation.
Man, for sure, man. I hope so, man. Thoughts and prayers with his family, man.
For sure. But on a lighter note, I'm sorry, this really wasn't a good segue, but it is the finale episode, and I'm so excited to have you, and a great way to end. Yes. So let's go ahead.
We've been trying to do this for a while.
Okay.
Just watching, like, we've been trying to do this for a while, so I'm glad to do it. Like I said, you're a friend. I've known you for a long time, so I guess that I got your back. It's always easy.
I appreciate that. Yes, and if, I guess to give you all a little background, because now people are like, they're friends, you know how people like to talk. So, Money and I work together at the radio station, and, you know, I had the pleasure of working with him and seeing him work, and, you know, from the station to the club to on stage, so we're going to talk about all of that tonight, and yeah, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Yes. So, first of all, how did you get the name DJ Money? Like, DJs have they have the coolest name. So, DJ Money came from where?
Came from like when I was younger. To be honest with you, I was younger playing football, and like my coaches and my friends, they just always felt like I was like on point, so they just was calling me Money a lot. Like, everyone just called me Money. So when I got older, I had another name, which we're not going to talk about. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? Like, that name, I don't feel like it's going to go. It's not going to go as far as I think it is. I was like, let's just try to stick with Money. Folks call me Money. And, of course, now it's stuck. So, you know, like, we're going to keep that, you know.
So why can't we know what the other name was? Come on.
Listen, man, that's in a former life, man. It's a past life.
All right, new year, new me. I'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. New year, new me, exactly.
Now, with that being said, because, you know, you've done some acting as well, so, you know, in your younger years, so how did you know that it was DJing and music that you wanted to hone in on?
I always make the joke that I was like original Drake, because I was like, I left acting to like do music. Mm-hmm. But like, to be honest with you, acting was very fun, but it was draining. And music was always in my passion. Even when I was doing the acting stuff, I was there thinking about songs, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I tell folks, I was writing songs before I was like spinning. So I was very always thinking about music. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, I knew my passion early. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was going to be something that I was going to get paid to do for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm blessed for that right now. But yeah, like, I might get back to active voiceover stuff and different stuff like that. Like, and I always tell folks, with everything that I've done, man, it's been one of those things where I was very for my, like, I knew what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it didn't matter what I wanted, like, what I thought I was going to do. I kind of, like, all the stuff I wanted to do happened when it needed to happen, period.
Yeah. Timing is everything.
Facts.
Like, seriously.
That's super facts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, did you have a mentor or anything to teach you with DJing? Because, I mean, when you, not to say that you're old or anything like that, but it was a lot more than Serato when you first started DJing.
Nah, I'm the last era of vinyl, and I appreciate that because a lot of folks nowadays don't do vinyl. Like, my father, for was my mentor, like, my musical muse, for like, he, like, growing up, like, all he did was play stuff in the basement. Mm-hmm. I heard everything from, like, Dell Stylistics.
Yes.
Everything. Like, he was spinning it. He didn't really even want to do it as a career. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to do it just on some, like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, this is just fun for me. I collect records.
I like this song.
I just turned it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, one day was like, you know what I'm saying? Yo, let me just try this. And then I went from doing fam stuff to just doing like clubs. Like, I didn't even know the club thing existed. Like, I always thought it was going to be house parties, weddings,
yeah,
reunions, you know what I'm saying, birthday parties, stuff like that.
But, how,
you know, ended up like going crazy.
How old were you at your first club venue, like your first booking?
I'm gonna tell you something that's funny. So PGC, when I was, and it's funny because I'm looking for this tape. When I was 13 or 14,
mm-hmm.
had this contest. Tango was here. Had this contest,
mm-hmm.
where they let a DJ come in. And I was 13. Mm-hmm. So it came in and it was like, pretty much I submitted my mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up winning the contest. So they were like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Da, 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 you won the contest. So make sure you're there. So they hit us up. They
told
us everything. And I don't think they even really asked my age.
Yeah.
They just assumed how I sounded that I was older. So what was the nightclub?
So you...
The Mirage. It was the Mirage nightclub. Mirage nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember pulling up with my father. meeting a dude from the station.
Yeah,
with a crate, two crates of records, being like, "Yo,
oh my gosh,
I'm the guy," and they're like, "Hold on for a second." I remember they went and talked for like 20, 30 minutes, came back, was like, "Yeah, like they can't let you in. Like, we sorry. Like, we gonna figure something out. You come to the station, blah mm-hmm. blah blah." And I ended up never coming up to the station. I ended up just doing a mix, I sent the mix in. I believe they played it.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. It's so, past my bedtime, it's at a point in time when I could listen to it.
Oh well, I'm glad that like didn't. I'm glad that didn't, like, you know what I'm saying, like, deter you from your dream and what you wanted to do. You know what I'm saying, like.
I won the contest. I wasn't mad at all. I think, I'll be honest, I think when I realized I really could do it as a job,
mm-hmm.
was my 16th birthday party. My parents, I'll never forget this. My parents, shout out to my parents. My parents threw me a party.
Yeah.
And they were like, we got a DJ for you. You going to love him. I'm like, all right, bet. So we downstairs, we cooling. And I'm like, where's he at? He's like, yo, it's you. Like, you need to, like, show
people. Oh,
like,
that's what? So cool.
Like, nah. So that's like the first time I actually was spinning. Like,
wow.
In front of people, like, outside of my family. You
yeah.
Because, you know, your family going to big you up.
Like, oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of singers at the reunions. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's a lot of times where they'll say whatever. But that was the first time I really, like, did a legit party. And I remember everyone at school the next day was talk to me nice.
Yeah.
Was nice the next day, like, yo, like, you might need to do another one. Like, you all right? Like, that's what you be doing. You know, when you go to school and tell folks, I'm like, yeah, DJ, I just did a party this weekend. Niggas is like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
After I did it.
Yeah.
After I did it, it turned into a whole nother thing. You know?
That is amazing. So, like, what do you enjoy most? Being that you know, you are the last of the Mohican of the vinyl. Like, is it the scratching or the mixing of the DJ craft that you enjoy?
Crowd control.
Mm.
Crowd control is still my favorite. Because no matter what you use, like I tell folks all the time, I can give you my laptop, I can give you songs to play, I can tell you when to stop them and start them, but you're not going to play them how I'm going to play them. You're not going to set them up how I'm going to set it up.
Yeah.
That's what anybody great. Kid Capri, Jeff, you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I believe crowd control is my favorite thing. Like, outside of that, though, I was downstairs scratching my life away when I was younger, so I gotta say the scratching stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So... Yeah, man, it was a different time. It was definitely a different time during that era.
Is the crowd control, is that where you got your, oh my God again, your drop and your slogan, I guess you could say?
Once again, man, that's God, man. I tell folks, man, a lot of times all this stuff that happened was God. Like, pretty much, quick story, I'll just say it like this. I used to go to New York all the time, you know what I'm saying? So... A lot of times, I grew up listening to Funk Flex, Clue, Envy Enough, and Flex used to have the bomb.
Right.
Everyone knows this, but you know, Flex had the bomb. So, like, the bomb was, like, his big thing. So, it's like, when you heard the Flex bomb, you knew what it was.
Yep.
And I wanted to be on air so bad and find, like, my own version of the Flex bomb. Mm-hmm. So, I remember I had the money drop, but, like, I never really had, like, my own... tag,
yeah,
excuse me, or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was searching forever. So at the time when I was spinning that Love Nightclub, shout out to Mark Barnes, Chris Ransom, I side job that I was doing because I really wasn't getting paid for spinning yet.
Okay.
I used to edit their commercials. I used to edit all their commercials.
Okay.
So like, because I engineered like on the side. Mm-hmm. So like, that's how I made like a little extra money. Like all the commercials you used to hear during that era, I probably did those commercials. So Howard Homecoming, every year Puff and Mark used to do a party at Howard Homecoming, and every year Puff would send like 3 or 4 minutes of him just talking shit about the weekend.
Yeah.
And we would just take it and make it
chop it up
for like 3 or 4 commercials for you know what I'm saying, you know about that,
yeah.
So pretty much I took that, and one of the commercials, he was like, Mark Barnes and Puff together, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God again.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I was drawn to it, but I just always liked it.
Yeah.
So I just cut it and just put it to the side. Like, I didn't think about it or nothing like that. Probably like a year later, I'm on air. I remember I was going through everything. I had different blast bombs, but I just couldn't find like my own thing.
Yeah.
And I remember I had this exclusive record, and I was like, yo, I don't even know who was on air at the time. It might have been Two Face or Angie. I can't remember. But I was like, yo, I'm gonna play the record, I'm gonna stop it, I'm gonna play something, and then I'm gonna play the song again and just hype the song. It was like, all right, bet.
Yeah.
So I did it. I played the drop, played the song, didn't think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter just went crazy. Like, Twitter was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I just like, you know what? I'm going to keep this.
Yeah, because you know, like, when you hear that drop.
This works.
Yeah, when you hear that drop, like, you know it's on. Yeah. Like, this shit is crazy. So, like, how did you go about getting on the radio? So, I mean, because you're starting out, you know. So, were you on, you know, since you won PGC at a young age, did you go to PGC first? Or was it KYS? Or was it station?
I didn't even try to get on radio until after I came back from school, to be honest with you.
Okay.
When I started doing Love, when I came back from college,
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, like, I really wanted to be on radio.
Why?
I remember analyze trending, because that's what I grew up listening to. That's what I wanted to do. Like, to me, radio was the benchmark. Uh-huh. Like, where I can play records and progress the culture. I wanted to play the new shit. I wanted to have the new shit, mm-hmm. have the new hot shit, play the new hot shit. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being, once again, right place, right time. Mm-hmm. Analyzed my brother. I used to go up there all the time and mess with him. You know what I'm saying? And Gilbert Arenas had his birthday party, mm-hmm. where he bought Love out for $1 million+. To do a party on a Friday. I'll never forget this. And this is how I got on air, real talk. P-Stu, shout out to P-Stu. I knew P-Stu because I used to go up there. Mm-hmm. And what happened? So pretty much, Cedric the Entertainer got a table.
Uh-huh.
Got a table from, like, from upstairs on the second floor. So pretty much made all the KISS staff had mm-hmm. to move their table down to my floor.
Oh, wow.
That's the only reason they heard me. They wouldn't have never heard me that night.
Wow.
That happened. And they heard me play from 7 p.m. to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and not play two songs back to back. Like, never play another song again. And they asked you, like, yo, who's cuz? And he's like, oh, yeah, like, that's funny. Like, he's killing right. So, and next thing I know, Stu came and told me, and I came up there, like, the next Thursday, and I was signed, like, that next Tuesday.
Nice.
It was crazy.
Nice. You're right. Like, your whole DJ career has been, like, right place, right time. Like,
tell you, like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to tell y'all, man. That's why I say I appreciate my blessings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to tell you, like, it. I can't explain it. I'm happy. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, definitely. Because there was that one point in time where you didn't even think that you would be, you know what I'm saying, making money off of DJing, and now radio stages,
like
world tours.
I had no idea, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's beautiful. It's amazing.
Right. So, yeah.
So, you know, you're not to downplay radio, because, I mean, like, when I first heard you, I was like, oh, this man is crazy in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, even seriously, every time I hear, Don't Stop, Pop That Don't Stop, like, it's just, you were the first person that I heard to play that song, so it's like, every time I hear it, I'm like, money, like, that's my man, that's amazing.
I got in trouble for a lot of songs, trust me, I got in trouble for a lot of stuff.
But that's a good thing, because, like, how do you feel about, you know, because I remember when No Hands came out with Waka Flocka and Wale, and it was on Wale's mixtape, and I was like, yo, I'm not going to say, you know, but I was like, yo, this needs to be played, like, this song is crazy, like, it's going to be the next thing, and it was like, oh, it's a mixtape song, da-da-da. And then it became the next thing, right? So how do you feel, especially being a DJ and somebody who shapes the culture, like, how do you feel about radio play and what they decide to play? Without getting yourself in trouble, of course, because we love to hear you.
Yeah, I'm about to be political as fuck right now, but let me be honest with you. Nah, but seriously, I mean, I get the vantage point, but mm-hmm. at the same time, my job is to push it forward. So my job is to play what I feel is going to eventually be a hit, or is a hit, and they don't know that it's a hit.
Right.
I'm not going to say who, but, like, I've had old bosses. I remember telling my old bosses about a lot of different artists, Bryson Tiller, Janae, Ari. I have a list of emails I can show folks to themselves. I'm like, yo, I'm telling you, they're gonna go crazy, and people telling me that I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And when it happens, it's, yo, like, can you introduce me? And it's funny, because I tell folks that's really how I built a lot of relationships, because I believed in certain artists mm-hmm. before they popped off. Like, me and Big Sean are still cool because of New and Nine. We were literally the first person
nice.
to play his music, my last with Chris Brown,
mm-hmm.
before, like, outside of his own city, like, yeah. me and Angie, like, literally, and, like, every time I see him, he brings it up, it's crazy as hell.
That's what's
like,
sad.
Every time I see him.
That's what's
like,
sad.
But, like, that's one of the things of, like, pushing the culture and, like, just believing in stuff that you, like, playing the stuff that you believe in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still fighting today. I had to fight for Brent Faiyaz. I had to fight for a lot of records. Like, a lot of people think that I just fight for the artists that I work with, Alex Vaughn and Phil Ide mm-hmm. and Wale. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't just fight for their records. I fight for records that I just think are dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of great music out that a lot of folks don't hear, especially from here.
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, period.
Yeah. Now, speaking of artists that are from here, you know, like, how do you, when you do link up with them, I mean, or do they ask you to be their DJ tour? Like, how does, or be their tour DJ? How does that work? Or, like, when it comes to you touring with...
The only person, I've been asked by a couple folks, but, like, to be honest with you, I've been with so many artists for a long time touring-wise, so, like, first was Raheem, Phil Ide, like that was an era. Then mm-hmm. I did Mac Miller.
Yeah,
that was an era. Then after Mac, I've been with Wale ever since. So it's like, you know, in between there, I've done shows with folks and like tours of folks. Like I've done mm-hmm. tours of Jeezy, Rocky Fresh, Fat Trail, a couple of Days of Trey Songz. My first show ever was B2K. Like, I've done some, like, different stuff, but a lot of times, like I said, once again, right place, right time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just us vibing to music,
mm-hmm.
and it turns into a thing. Like, Phil Ide, I like, he's one of my greatest inspirations, and he's still a great friend, mm-hmm. and we still work, and I still spit fit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I was really blessed to work with, I feel, is a great range of artists from Phil to Wale, you know?
Yeah. And you said B2K, that was your first tour?
Yeah, that was my first, like...
Like, bump, 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 B2K?
Yeah, listen, before it was called the Scream Tour, it was called the Youth Motivational Tour. It was at the Warner Theater, my one of my OGs, Brian,
mm-hmm.
his best friend, Jimmy, was doing tour management with them.
Uh-huh.
And they called me and was like, yo, like, Just is not feeling well. If you want to come in and do this, they'll pay you whatever. I was like, all right, bet. I ended up doing the whole show. That day, I think Janae was in a group back then. Janae Aku was in a group uh-huh. back then. Orion was on the tour.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So that was, like, before it was called the Scream Tour. Like, yeah. That was, like, the real... And I ended up doing the DC show, and then after that, I ended up doing like three or four more.
Nice.
After that.
Nice. Now,
so that was like my first tour taste, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Now, you said that you worked with the late Mac Miller. What was that experience like?
Rest in peace.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, man. Mac was my brother, man. Once again, right place, right time. We ended up, me and Ide was on tour with him. His guy couldn't get into Canada, and they kind of wanted to, my management at the time, they wanted to, like, kind of get me to tell them to pay me, but I was already getting paid for the show.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, nah, like, it's all good, like, Mac is trying to get himself up, and I didn't even know Mac like that then, I just felt for him just as an artist.
Yeah.
Myself, and ended up, ended up just vibing with him, just nice. Music. And next thing you know, I did like 2-3 shows with him. About 6 months later, he just called me and was like, "Yo, you trying to go back? You trying to go back?
Yeah,
Canada or?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, sure." And he blessed and really brought me around the world. Like, he really blessed me with that, man. And like, great spirit.
Mm-hmm.
His mental when it comes to music is unmatched.
Yeah.
Just a great spirit, man. Like,
right.
I'm sad he's gone, man. Rest in peace to him. Like I said, me and him really vibed off of our passion for music. He told me why he loved the Beatles and, like, really introduced me to that. I gotta like explain to him why I love like Black Star was like my favorite rap album ever. Like just we vibed off that. And then I met so many folks through him, like the internet.
I love the internet. Yeah.
Staples was at his house a lot. SZA, Av Soul, Flying Lotus, Thundercat. I met all these people through him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm forever grateful for just he let me be a part of his process.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Even if you go back to like when me and Snoop sat down, I told him a story about how I was up working in Mac's lab. When Scary Movie 5 came out, right? Scary Movie 5 was shooting, actually, I'm sorry. And Mike Epps got into it with Harvey Weinstein.
Oh.
And I don't know what exactly happened, but he ended up getting thrown off set, whatever. So they needed somebody to fill in for Mike Epps for the scene. So Snoop said, yo, y'all should call Mac. Mac came downstairs, cut him down the steps. Had to be 3-4:30 in the morning. And he was like, yo, they just called me. They said they'll pay me X amount to come do the scene today for the movie. You trying to go? I was like, yeah, shit, fuck it. So, at the time, I'll let you know, like, at the time, I actually moved out there because I had a friend that passed.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, my boy Brendan. I had a friend that passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like overspending and everything. I just really wanted to like do production and just work. Like that's what I really wanted to do. So that's what kind of happened. I was out there and next thing you know, we go to the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 7, 8 a.m. They walk into Snoop's room. Snoop is vibing to like old school and smoking. And I tell you, I almost died that day.
Too many J's. Too many J's.
And listen, I'm trying not to tap out. I'm trying not to tap out.
Right.
I don't care. I'm not going to tap out. And I'm just trying to figure out where these J's coming from. Like, I'm not seeing nobody roll no weed. I'm not seeing nothing. Like, where are these J's coming from? And I just remember, like, riding back with Mac and how cool that day was.
Yeah.
And, man, that's one of my favorite times. I was with him, man, just being able to just vibe with him off the music vibe, and that just showed me like how folks viewed him, one, how special he was to the world.
Yeah.
And two, just how he could just light up a room, man. Yeah. So it's like, you know, rest in peace to Mac, man.
Definitely.
Definitely going to soon.
Yes. Now that's probably because you were just mentioning production. So you also produce music as well. Alongside of DJing. So how did you, you know, like when you get into that, because that's a lot different. Now you're going into how the music is made. So with your process of now working with the artist, tell me a little about that and just your love for production and making the music.
My love for it comes from understanding the music and once again, back to crowd control, the reaction of the people in general. So, like, that's one of the things that I love. So, to just see the process, like, I tell you one of my favorites, the process of, like, even a recent favorite, On Chill, Wale On Chill, like, being a part of that record and that process, that to me is one of the best things. Shout out to Toddy in here. He was with us that whole last album, like in engineering. And my thing is just to see the process of us having the beat for months. Wale not initially wanting to do the beat, to doing the beat, to just doing a verse, to not having a hook, to having four or five different hooks, to me making a phone call, to get Eric to come in, to write that hook, to the second verse changing twice, to Chris Brown supposed to be doing it, to Chris Brown not doing it, to Jeremiah doing it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And then to see the reaction of how it happened is really amazing. And I think that's the thing that keeps my juices flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, I don't gamble, right? I'm not a dude that gambles.
Yeah.
But to me, creating records is that same vibe to me.
Because really?
It's like you're creating. Yeah, because it's like, you know what I'm saying? When you gamble, mm-hmm. you are betting that, yo, this bread is going to get me more bread.
Right.
This is going to do. I'm going to put 100 on black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
100 on black.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it hits, sometimes it don't. Sometimes right. you want to run. You know what I'm saying? And I'm at a point where I'm trying to get on that run. Like, I've had everything. Like, I've had things not work. I remember mm-hmm. when Shine first came out, and first week wasn't great. But now it's about to go gold. And I remember a lot of folks coming up to Wale and myself being like, yo, like, Shine is my favorite project. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And to hear that synergy, energy, to me is what I want to do and create, like, impact.
Yeah.
Sue me. Impact, you know what I'm saying? So, in this day and time, even a day like today, we just talked about, you know what I'm saying, the young brother that was killed by mm-hmm. the cops.
Yeah,
right? That record resonates. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of music that I want to make.
Gotcha.
Just three over highlights. That's mm-hmm. what I want to do. And that to me is the process of making music and producing. Like, literally, you're taking yourself, you're taking the worldview, what you're going through, and making it so the world can understand it, resonate, reflect, and mm-hmm. release with it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all music is, the release.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing that I love about music. I've met, like, so many dope people. I've met so many dope artists. You know what I'm saying? Just music. It brings us together. I love that. Who haven't you worked with that you are wanting to work with?
Who haven't I worked with? I want to work with.
Yeah.
I've been very close to working with Rihanna, and I really want to work with Rihanna just because I feel like she's super fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were the type of bounce of music that I make.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put out a record with Timbaland. That's one of the reasons why I produce.
Okay.
Who else did I really want to do a record with that I haven't done a record with? From back home, I would love to do, like, a SZA Brent Faiyaz collab. Like, that would be crazy.
That would be crazy, like crazy.
I can bring out some special things with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Other than that, right now, like, I'm working with the folks that I really want to work with. And that's the blessing of it right now.
Definitely. You put out a single a couple of years ago, The Night Is Young. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe your music? Because I feel like that one is, like, party... You know what I'm saying? Like, dance record. And, you
yeah,
know.
It's hard for me to describe it because it's one of those things where, to me, I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Right? I listen to everything. So, from house to trap, a lot of soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think a lot of times I want to make sure that the soul never leaves, no matter what vibe I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop, house, R&B. I want soul in every aspect of it. So I think mine, if I could, I just wanna call it like world music, man. Like it's just music. Like I hate classifying music. Like I feel like classifying music is the reason why it's so many sub genres. Folks need to just listen to music for what it is. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Cause like Lil Nas X showed us like country can go with the hip hop side. And
yeah.
You remember too, that sample was a rock sample. So you got rock, you got country, hip hop.
Yeah.
Used it one. Mm-hmm. That was a nine inch nail sample.
Oh, you know okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like it's just about the feeling. And if a record makes you feel a certain way, why not just go with it? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah. I mean, if I had to do it, I'd be like, if I had to give it like a name, I would call it like Future Soul.
Future Soul? Okay, that's cool.
Future Soul is what I would call it.
We can get into that. Now,
Future Soul.
Now, although you're not spinning at the clubs right now, like what record are you playing the most? Or have you been playing out?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I'm on my phone. What have I been playing out? Shout out to King Midas from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really listening to a lot of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's super dope. Tom Mist from London.
Okay.
He just put out a project with his drummer probably about 3-4 weeks ago. And I've been burning that up. And I'm working on a project. So I've been listening to a lot of singing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mary J. Blige, My Life, Minnie Riperton. Yeah, that's really wild. But like on some new stuff, it's been like Thomas and King Midas.
Nice.
That's what I've been listening to.
Yes. Now you just also, you know, speaking of listening to, you just created a playlist on Tidal, yeah?
Yeah, I did a playlist on Tidal a couple weeks ago. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. How did that come about? Because that's pretty freaking awesome.
3 a.m. on 2/2/95.
Yes.
Yeah, my homie from Tidal been asking me to make a playlist for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't, I didn't want to just do something to do something. But to be honest with you, my favorite time to listen to music is early in the fucking morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Ooh. One of my favorite vibes to do, and a lot of folks don't even know this. Like, sometimes, like, even now, like, with everything going on, I'll just go into the city, drive,
yeah,
and listen to some music.
Nice.
Catch a vibe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so.
Well, I mean, it's a great playlist. I mean, if you haven't heard it, it's on Tidal. Is it going to go away, or is it up there forever?
No, it's up there.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a couple more coming.
Mm-hmm.
I got some stuff coming. So, yeah, like, y'all going to definitely hear some more music from me.
Yes. So, like, is there a date on when the music is coming, or are you taking Corona to...
No, I don't want to give a date.
Okay.
They just dropped a project.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing after? So that's out. Wale's gonna drop something real soon.
Okay.
We working on something. And I'll probably say the next time you'll hear some stuff from me, will be I got something I'm working on that's actually coming out next month.
Okay,
And then music wise, August.
August, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Well, I mean, your journey has been a great one, a very fulfilling one, and one where timing is everything. For sure. Yes. What advice do you have for DJs who are, you know, trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get on those world stages, those festival stages, you know, what advice do you have for them?
Be authentic within yourself. And what I mean by that is know and understand who you are and who you want to be 5-10 years from now as an artist. Because DJs are art artists.
Mm-hmm.
And people sometimes forget that. And you need to treat yourself as such. I don't regret nothing that I do. But one thing I do wish I did when I was younger was just promote more of myself. Of what I was doing outside of spinning. And that's, this generation does a lot more of, which I, you know what I'm saying, even right now, like, you know, with the podcast, different stuff like that. We came up in a space where the digital space, of course, wasn't there.
Yeah, true. So
promotion you had to be just like word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And different stuff. I tell folks, like, when I ran the city, I really ran the city. Like, I've been in bars and people... I know what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, yo, I gotta go see Money tonight. I heard he's at not a little bit to the fault of myself, but at the same time is one of the things where I feel like
is it you said it's one of the things where you what? It's
just make sure is
no, it was kind of going in and out. You said it's one of the things where you feel like what? Money. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. You said it was one of the things that made you feel like what? Yeah.
But this generation definitely knows how to do that. But I say be authentic to yourself because I know, you know what I'm saying? I knew who I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wanted my music to last longer than the quote. quote fame aspect. I never really wanted, I never reached for the limelight.
Yeah.
Like, the light always found me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's why I talk about money swing. Like, money swing is like a pendulum. Like, it's what it's about is like, even in a name, like, money's gonna swing all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's a pendulum. Goes back and forth. You just gotta swing your way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to your side, you just gotta catch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really like the premise and everything. But I just never been a person to. You already know, you knew me back then, like interviews and stuff. I just started doing this shit.
Yeah.
Because like, it never was really my vibe. Like, I wanted folks to hear my music.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted folks to understand me. But now I realize, like, telling my story and having folks see where I come from can help someone else grow.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's the best thing that I would tell somebody, like, be authentically you.
Yeah.
Authentically you, and understand that you being authentic in yourself is going to make you the best you, period. And that's the best advice I can give you. Like, it doesn't, real talk, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you think you are.
Yeah.
How good they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Period.
Period. Well, I thank you so much for sharing your story on the Sparks and Pores podcast. And we are all looking forward to hearing Oh My God again once shit opens up. My goodness.
Yeah. You definitely will. You definitely will. I got some more stuff. I know if you've been keeping up, no DJ, no party.com is coming soon. I've been doing stations in Minneapolis.
Mm.
Sirius XM still once a month.
Nice.
Fly. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I got some stuff, man. I got some stuff coming.
Nice.
I got some good stuff coming. And thank you for having me, man.
Of course. Of course.
She busted my balls, y'all. I didn't want to do this, and that wasn't the case at all. It's just timing, man. I'm all about timing.
Timing.
And I'm happy it happened when it happened.
Yes.
It's a good time.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So, speaking of timing, it is now time for a quick random AF segment.
Okay.
All right. So, do you like to lay on the couch or do you like to sit on the couch when you're watching TV?
Lay on the couch.
Yeah, me too. If you could have any celebrity to chauffeur you for a day, who would it be?
Any celebrity to chauffeur me?
Yeah.
Damn, that's kind of tight. Any celebrity to chauffeur me.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I'm actually gonna say I'm gonna do two because I'm gonna say one on some biz stuff, right?
Okay.
I'm going to say what's my man who created the Tesla?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Uh huh.
I gotta do him because he's always forward and stuff. And on some music stuff, I actually would do, probably the Black Godfather.
Oh, nice. That would be a good ride.
Great story. That nigga makes the phone calls for a nigga.
Yeah.
Yes. I was gonna say Russell, but not Clarence would probably be a better one.
For sure. For sure.
Clarence.
What movie makes you cry?
Cry?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think what movie has made me cry.
You don't shed a tear.
No, I have, but I'm trying to think like when you know what, the only one I can think of is gonna be random. Jason Lyric. I don't know why. I think that's like the last one I can think of that like Jason Lyric, like that end was just like, damn, like fucked up. Like this is got crazy. Like I definitely held my fist like, damn, like,
yeah.
Oh, man, like y'all haven't seen it, I'm not gonna give it away, but
yeah.
Like that ending was kind of crazy. Him bringing Shorty out, like
yeah, it was wild. It was wild.
And that's the only one I could like really think of that like I was like, damn, I can't have niggas see me crying off this joke.
Like, right. And last question: spark or pour?
Both.
Since it's the finale episode, I'll let you have both.
No. Since I'm drinking water right now, I'm gonna say spark.
All right, that's good. Spark it up. Spark it up. Yes. Money, thank you so much.
It's all good.
Yes. Get your lighter.
My AC's on. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. The wind is blowing. But Money, thank you so much for ending the second season, part one of the Sparks and Ports podcast. Thank you. Where can people find you and follow you and listen to your music?
At DJ Money on everything. Spotify, Apple Music, no DJ, no party. We got some stuff coming. So look out for that on that Instagram. And yeah, man, I'm right here, man. I ain't going nowhere.
Nice. We will. Well, I thank you so much, and I'm going to holler at you later. All right, peace. That was absolutely amazing. It was a lit finale episode for part one of season two of the Sparks and Pours podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sticking in there with me. If you would like to be on the Sparks and Pours podcast, then please email us at sparkspours@gmail.com. And if you would also like to follow us at Sparks and Pours, and follow me, the host, Jaleesa Dove, at Jaleesa Bald. That's JaleesaBald. Thank you so much for a great part one of season two of the Sparks and Pours podcast. I appreciate y'all so much. I love y'all so much. Season two, part two is coming soon. Just make sure that you stay tuned to the Sparks and Pours podcast. And as always, find your spark and pour yourself into it. I'll holla at y'all later.